Burning Man 2017 attracted nearly 70,000 people to northern Nevada's Black Rock Desert. The event has grown dramatically from its humble beginnings on the shores of the San Francisco Bay 31 years ago. While out on the windy, dusty playa this year, Reno Public Radio's Paul Boger met with one of the event's founders, Harley K. Dubois, to learn more about how it all started.
Today's Burning Man is a lot different than what it looked like in the past, right?
In some ways, today's Burning Man is extremely different. In some ways, it's exactly the same. It depends on what you're looking at and how you're looking at it. There's as much sort of jankiness and creativity and people prototyping and trying new things now as there was back in 1994, 95. Obviously, the city's much larger now. It's much more funded. There's a lot more money coming in to have people do their projects. It's more established. People know how to be here and doing a great job being here. So yes, it's more built up and it's more established, but the spirit's still alive.
Starting in San Francisco, you know, moving to the Black Rock Desert, you know, why was that change made? Why come here? Why come to northern Nevada?
Oh, it was a happenstance. It was a fluke. They outgrew the size of the beach with the comfort of the police department in San Francisco. Friends of ours who had come out here recently and they saw that this place had plenty of space and all the characteristics that would be ideal for burning something like a man. So they just discovered it and they were all excited about it and came back. And we thought, well, why not us? So, happenstance.
But I mean, it was a pretty significant happenstance, you know, and this has grown and partially, you know, due to the fact that there is so much space out here, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the ideal landscape. It's basically a blank canvas, right? You can't hurt anything out here. There's no vegetation. There's no animals. Nothing lives. And the vastness is inspiring. I think that's a lot of it, is that the inspiration of the nothingness. It happened to coincide with the technology boom, the introduction of the internet, the creation of all the technology that was happening in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is like a blank canvas on a computer. This is like the physical manifestation of that. So, yeah, it was kind of ideal.
You know, but it presents many challenges. You know, you are intimately familiar with how difficult it can be creating a city in the middle of nothing.
Tons of challenges. Of course, the weather. Of course, the dust. Of course, the distance from anything, the winds, rainstorms, all of that, the natural elements. And I think for a lot of urban people, just being away, like if they themselves go through their own changes and difficulties and headspace adjustments that they have to make to be out here, for sure. And then there's logistics of just pulling off building within the constraints that the BLM gives us. We have to basically build an entire city in 2 weeks. Live in it for one and tear it down in 2 to 3. It's a lot of planning. It's a year-round event. It has been since 1999, 2000. It's been a year-round event just to do the planning and logistics itself. And we only get to practice it for essentially 1 week, and then we tear it down. The hard part is only having 1 week to live in it, but the beauty is that we have the rest of the year to capitalize on what we discovered and make it better, plan better for the next year.
So what have you personally learned over the last, you know, however many years?
Oh, it's been a total transformation for me personally. When I first started Burning Man, I was a painter and a personal trainer and a group exercise instructor to make money. But painter, I always thought that I would do something meaningful that would change the world, and I thought it would be through painting. And in fact, I have done something meaningful that is changing the world, but it's through something I never expected. It's just a silly thing that turned into this huge, beautiful thing. So I have evolved, you know, continually. Actually, every year when I come to Burning Man, I have my Burning Man experience. And when I leave, I say, well, is it still good? Is it still good for me? Am I still good for it? And out of that, those three questions comes a lot of learning, and I decide whether I'm really willing to do it again next year. And I'm on my 29th year. I learned skills that I have here that I never would have known otherwise, and I'm one of many. There's so many people who have a similar story. Their story will be their own. It'll vary greatly, but it's the same story of continual transformation, continual opening up. Who am I? What do I value? Why am I here? And where does this take me next? Those are the questions I think that a lot of people face.
Have there been moments where you've questioned whether this is worth continuing or worth coming back?
Oh, yeah, every year, probably every month. Not only is it a personal quest, but it's really difficult, as you already brought up, to do something like this. And then on top of it, whenever you do something that bucks the system, that's outside the system, people don't believe in you. They don't trust you. They think there's an ulterior motive. They think you're crazy. So, you know, all of the agencies we have to deal with, we've had to earn our trust with, and then people retire or change positions, and we have to go through the same cycle again with new people. Even the vendors we deal with have to grow into being here. We train them essentially to be here with us. Everything is challenging, and it is the most difficult thing I've ever had to do in my life. I think it's balanced by the richness and the benefits I get out of it, but it's challenging every day.
You know, how do you think it's evolving, and do you think it's, you know, moving in the right direction, and where you folks intended for it to go in the first place?
So I think the evolution of Burning Man, I kinder it to a garden where we got a plot of land we didn't know was on it. The first rain came and some things came up, and some of them looked like flowers and some of them looked like weeds. And I have to say we did a good job in the beginning of saying, yeah, we want to nurture this and we want to discourage that. And so we created a safe space for people to explore themselves, for people to explore their ideas, for people to fail and learn, where there's no judgment. And to do that, we had to get rid of things like sponsorship and commodification and things where you're valued, like money itself. Like, there's no value here other than what you bring to it. So that unique set of circumstances has allowed every year for things to change and grow differently. And every year we're like, is this a weed or is this a flower? And so we've been nurturing it all along. We've never really had an intention of where it should be. I think our society and our world and the people that come to our events, because they're the people who bring the content, they're the people who are bringing the meaning, they show us which way the next way is. They create it themselves. We all of us here at Burning Man are creating that next phase. So it's way out of our hands as to what it should be or what it could be or where it will go. And it's different every year, and that's the way it's intended to be. There are some times where I wonder if we're tipping a balance incorrectly, and that's where it's really great that it's only a week out of the year and we got so many other weeks to think about it, because if things don't go quite right, we can try to adjust them for next year, and we've become pretty masterful at that. Everybody who comes to Burning Man, I think people who come and bring their art cars and their theme camps or the people who work behind the scenes making it happen are all comfortable in a gray area, not really knowing what's next, but just trying to be the best person they can, bring the best they can to the situation and express themselves the best. And it has a life of its own. It's really outside every one of us as an individual.
You know, what do you think of your fellow burners? They are a particular group of people who subject themselves to the heat and the dust out here in what most, I think, just about anybody would call rather inhospitable conditions. Why do you think this event attracts them the way it does?
I don't think they're attracted by the heat or the dust or any of that. I think they're attracted by the opportunity to create. They're attracted by the opportunity to try new things, whether it's internally or externally. And I think there's a cross-section in the sort of person who comes here in that I think a lot of them are doers. They're not going to sit back and think. They want to get up and do. They are hardy enough to be out here. A lot of them are pretty smart. And if they're not smart, at least they read. And they come prepared. You can just tell by looking at our medicals that people come here prepared. There's not a lot of stupid stuff going on, really, when you compare us to another festival our size that even lasts a day. Our medicals are extremely low. So there's a cross-section in humanity that we all share, but it's pretty unique, so you can't really judge anyone out here. You can get somebody who's 86 years old and retired as an engineer, or some 23-year-old who hasn't even discovered who they are in life yet, but they're going to be hardy, and they're going to be smart enough, and they're going to come prepared, and they're going to be curious, a curious mind.
Are there any concerns in your mind about the direction?
So I've had a long time to think about this. This is my 29th year, and I am 54 years old, so I'm no longer a person out there thinking that I can control the world or make it be the way it is. It's a very complicated place we live in. So my first concerns are always safety, and they have been since the beginning. I've never been a participant of Burning Man. I've always been behind the scenes, and I've spent my whole time thinking about safety. And once I know that we have enough water to put out a fire, that we have enough medical to take care of people's needs, that, you know, all of that stuff, Then I can think about the direction we're moving. And yes, we, as I said, the weeds to the flowers, we definitely have done a lot of shaping over the years. If we feel like something's getting out of balance, we have our own unique methods of working with our community to listen to our community, to educate our community, to bring people along, and if we're wrong, then to listen to them so that, you know, we don't make a mistake in the direction we're moving. And it's a gentle, I feel like it's a gentle push on a large ship, to steer things in a different direction. And we definitely do that through communication plans that are strategic, that are year long and sometimes 3 year long in their course. And we work hard to, keep that balance. And the balance is changing. I mean, when I first started, there was no internet. I mean, the technology out here is crazy now, and the ability for people to make amazing things with technology is crazy now, and we never had that to begin with. So that itself was a fear at one point, like, there's too much technology. What are we going to do with that? And look at the beauty that came out of that thus far. So you kind of have to let things breathe a little bit to decide what really is a problem and what isn't.
Is there anything in particular this year? I'm sorry. Is there anything in particular this year that you're excited about or you're fascinated by?
I'm a behind the scenes person, so I am, I think for the first time in my 29 years, 30 years of doing this, I really see that my staff is so competent in every level that I don't need to really worry. I think every once in a while they need to have a little historic lesson to know what we've learned already, but beyond that, our staff is really wonderful. So that's really exciting to me. I have to say that this year's art is pretty off the hook. The theme has really contributed quite a bit, and so it's really, every year you hear someone say the art's awesome. But I feel like over the course of the last 3 years, we've built the art internationally, and the idea of coming to Burning Man is more accessible, and we're getting more diversity in the art, so that's pretty exciting. And, I think that's it.
So, part of the mantra, if you will, of Burning Man is to not just participate here, to bring the principles outside Black Rock City with you. Is that an accurate statement?
That's close enough. I think to qualify it a little bit more, I would say that, you have an opportunity to experience something here that a lot of people find meaningful, and they decide it's worthwhile for them to embrace it in some level and take it home with them. And I know lots of people have been profoundly affected by Burning Man who have never been here and will never come here because the people around them have. So I think it moves from here out because the ideas are good. I'm not arrogant and think that we've created these 10 principles that are so fabulous all on our own. Basically, it's the same stuff my mom taught me. Like, be a nice person and include everybody. You know, leave a place cleaner than you found it. Be a good citizen of your, be community minded. Take care of yourself. Don't expect somebody else to do it. All those principles are, I think, they're core to who we are as people. And I think some people may have slipped a little bit in getting some of those messages. And it's a really good time in our lives with what's happening culturally around us, globally around us, to reflect on those principles. So I don't think there's anything so amazing happening here in terms of that, other than people are reminded of some core values that are essential to being a good person on the planet. It's very natural for them to take them from here elsewhere.
What do you think is the one thing, if there is one thing, that people who are just either unwilling or unable to come out here, what do they need to know about this?
Well, the first thing is just kind of piss people off, and that's that you can't really experience it until you've been here. And so whatever you think it is, it's probably not. The being here part is just, it's not even that much part of my thinking these days. When I think of Burning Man, I don't think of Black Rock City in the Nevada desert. I think of this global network. And so that's easier to talk about. I think that a lot of people feel disassociated from their communities, from their work lives, disenfranchised, unimportant or unappreciated, or just disengaged from, 90% of what they do, from when they wake up until they go to sleep. And the things that happen here make you very much aware of every moment you're in. And that brings people happiness. It brings them peace of mind. It reinvigorates people. So I think the thing that they can know that happens from Black Rock City in Nevada to people that anywhere, even if they never come to Burning Man, there's many people who call themselves burners who go to other events that don't come to this one, and many people have been affected, as I said before, by this event that will never come here. And I think what they've discovered is that, like, their library when they were growing up, or the church they went to when they're growing up, or the community that their grandparents had that they got a glimpse of at one time, that kind of connectedness and feeling of belonging and like, this is for me, this is where I belong, is alive and well. And you can create it for yourself. Everyone can create it for themselves by a little bit of activity in their own environments.